Well, hello and welcome to After the Sermon, a Bethany podcast where we have the privilege of digging deeper into our Sunday messages. I am Tammy DeLau, and today I am joined with Pastor Billy Hudson. He will be doing our sermon this Sunday. We are in John chapter 15, and Pastor David Baxley. So this is that sermon where we hear over and over again that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. So, and we've got a lot of abides. I did a fun little word count here. So why don't you give us a quick little flyover, Billy, what you're doing?
Awesome text. This is a very personal text. I feel like it's something that us as believers can take and apply to our lives in so many different ways. It's still the upper room discord. It's hard to believe we're still in that. It's a very long conversation, obviously, that's happening. But man, it is just filled with so much personal nutrients that I feel like we could feed off of. And as Tammy said, it's the vine and the branch, you know, God the Father being the vine dresser, kind of the idea of the gardener, you know, he's the one moving things, shaping things and stuff like that. And we being the branch, and the idea is like, fruit hanging from the vine, where those branches and stuff, and then fruit blossoming from those things. And without us being connected, we cannot continue to produce fruit, life, anything good outside of Jesus. And so we're called to abide in him. And through that, we're given that nutrients of love and care that comes from the Father to the Son to us and even into other people's lives. It's pretty powerful.
Absolutely. Well, should we jump into that verse 2 right away? Let's just tackle it. So I will kind of set us up a little bit. In verse 2, different translations read differently, but every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. And so you are going to share with us that possibly there is a better word choice there.
Yeah. So, and there's some debate on this, and it's just like most text and everything, there's some tension and stuff, and like, could it mean this? Could it mean that? This one is used by some camps to say that, hey, look, eternal security, which means that when saved, always saved, isn't true. And a lot of people will point to like that verse in particular and verse 6. And that doesn't necessarily fit in the EFCA, but I want to challenge you to do your own studying. And I would say that that word takes away, it can mean something else. It could mean lifted up, and some translations say that. Most translations do say takes away. I actually hold that lift up is the better translation. So real quick, I just want to break this down and then we can discuss it, because give you kind of both variations. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that he does not bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So that's the idea. If you don't produce fruit, then the question is, and more the orthodoxy of the EFCA is saying that you were not a legitimate Christian, right? And even an example that's more relevant to this text is maybe you were a Judas, right? Mm-hmm. You professed faith, but you did not possess faith, right? It would be that example. A false convert. There's lots of ways to say that. But if you read it the other way and it's lifts up, and it's the idea that this is a believer, right? Verse 2, every branch in me, right, is an example there, that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And the idea there, again, is the vine dresser, the passage right before Jesus, or not Jesus, but actually God the Father, lifting up those branches so that they may produce better fruit. You know, you could see that even today if you go into vineyards as well. You'll see them kind of like a lattice, and the fruit is lifted up so it could get more sun, get out of the dirt, be more cleansed, all those different things, which seems to fit with the illustration to me here as well. But again, both could work. I would say the idea that you stop producing fruit, maybe you sin, you backslid in, and now you're not a Christian. I don't see that in the text. I don't think that fits in the whole of Scripture.
And so one of the tensions in this too is that, and I'll say this for sake of a better word, the traditional scholarly viewpoint, takes what is said in verse 2, every branch of me that does not produce fruit, he cuts off or removes. They're saying that this is like a summary of what Jesus comes back to in verse 6. Mm-hmm. And in verse 6, he's speaking again. He's like, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I am him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not abide in me, does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers, and then gathered and thrown in to be burned. Mm-hmm. And so in verse 6, we have clear imagery of whatever that's going on here, whether it's an attachment that's removed, whether it's a picture of something that's seemingly there, but it's dead, so it's not really a part of the vine itself. And we see this internal narrative coming into the eternal judgment of separated, sent out, does not experience eternal life, is attached to Christ, and is sent out and eternally experiences eternal death and hell. So there, that interpretation, that traditional one, is saying too, is a summary of the greater description. And what you are saying is that there's two different pictures being presented here. It's not one, it's just re-hitting the same idea, but he's telling us two different things that God does in the life of those potentially attached to the vine, right?
Yep. Yeah, because if you start off, it seems like it's referring to the disciples, mm-hmm. right? The disciples in 6, I would say, is more alluding to Judas, right? The one who professed faith but not possess faith, if that makes sense.
Well, and I have to confess, just in my little bit of preparing, as I was sitting in my office just even a couple hours ago, and I'm looking at different translations and I'm seeing cut off, yeah, I mean, removed, whatever all of the words are, I almost panicked because it's a different way of thinking about it. And so I know there are some that are going to be sitting there going, that Billy, like, where did that come from?
Where did the lift up come from?
Yeah. And why would you hold that view? I think is what you're really missing. If you look and see, you know, or the place that I know we go to often is BibleHub.com, because we can quickly see one verse in like 30 different translations, mm-hmm. right? And where most of them, like high majority of them, will say cut off. That's whatever background someone's faith might be, whatever translation, they've probably seen cut off, removed.
Right.
You're saying, whoa. You're saying, I don't think that's the right translation of that word. Mm-hmm. So build on that a little bit. Can you give us a little bit more on that?
Yeah. And in all fairness, if I do hit some footnotes, mm-hmm. I do see lift up sometimes.
That's an important thing to note. Yes.
So this is like,
Well, and here's what's important about you rightly dividing the word of God and you coming to those conclusions, mm-hmm. and not just feeding off of other people's Bible knowledge. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's good to get those perspectives so that you can decide for yourself. I think that's so important here. Mm-hmm. As you have your own relationship with Christ, you know, you're the branch connected to the vine yourself. What a great illustration of that. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the words themselves, the word for takes away in verse 2 and cut off in verse 6, they're actually different words. They not the same word, so they could have different meanings to them. In most other cases, in what we see in verse 2, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but my study of it, that most of the time it does mean a lifts up. But the other thing too is you have these illustrations elsewhere in the scriptures too. Isaiah gives an illustration of the vine and the branch as well, and it has that idea of the vine dresser lifting up as well. So there's ways that we could step back, and it's like, if something doesn't seem right, you know, like, okay, what does that mean? You got to do deeper study. Mm-hmm. And me comparing both for myself and stuff, it definitely seems to fit better to me, the idea of lifts up. Now, somebody's saying it takes away, and that this is a false convert, like a Judas type of person, and God's removing them because they're not really ever tied in. I'd be like, hey, that works too for me. But to me, like, the idea, even in verse 2, where it says every branch in me, he's saying in me. The question is, what does that mean? And then in 6 as well, it uses a different language.
So I know oftentimes, and I think one of the things that I really respect about you guys is that you want us to love the Lord with our own mind, not Billy's mind, not David's mm-hmm. mind. And I love that because it challenges me to think. So what I think I hear you saying is there are some who would use the word lift up and all mm-hmm. of that entails. And there are some that would be take away, but that would be referring to someone who really didn't know the Lord. This is never saying you can lose your salvation.
Yeah,
within I don't the think evangelical doctrine.
And I would, I do not believe that.
Okay.
That fits the narrative of the totality of Scripture.
Right.
Therefore, I could not come into a verse and say, oh, well, this somehow can mean this, when I believe the whole message, the fullness of the gospel would say otherwise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Romans 8 is probably the best example of that, that nothing can separate you from the love of God, mm-hmm. right? And no principalities, no darkness, nothing. Mm-hmm. No man can separate you from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so that doctrine, I think, is rooted in scripture. It's very firm, in my opinion, as I've studied it. So when I read this, it's not like, oh my goodness, we might lose our salvation. Mm-hmm. No, there's got to be more to this. Let's dive deeper.
And I think that's an important point, is people wrestle with interpretation of very specific texts, which is what you're doing with this, Billy, which is thoughtful. And we all should be doing that, is recognizing, though, either interpretation is affirmed elsewhere in scripture. Mm-hmm. What I mean is the idea of God finding us in our weaknesses and making us strong, yeah. lifting us up
and nurturing us.
Mm-hmm. When I am even in rebellion against God, he still has kindness that brings me to mm-hmm. repentance. He does to things in me when I'm even resisting him to become a fruit bearer. Like, that idea in scripture is echoed. Mm-hmm. The other one is also echoed, that mm-hmm. there, we know, in fact, first, speaking of the author here, First John speaks mm-hmm. often of those in both First John and Third John, this idea of those that we thought were part of our fellowship, mm-hmm. but they left and realized they never were part of it. So he speaks of the idea of the professing but not possessing mm-hmm. but person who's claimed, and we thought they were Christian, maybe even we thought, because we thought we saw some fruit, mm-hmm. but then we realized that as it developed, it was, as we talked about last week, rotten fruit, which was something mm-hmm. you said, Tammy. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why this is important, just to understand, mm-hmm. is yeah. in your grow groups, and really want to speak to this, mm-hmm. in your grow groups, make sure you realize this is a really healthy conversation. Have it in a healthy way. Allow for it. Yeah. Don't shut it down. Don't say, well, we're just never going to argue.
Right.
But don't argue. But
I so wish there would have been like a camera on the wall when the three of us were in your office, yeah. because as you were trying to help me understand it, it's super fun. It's iron sharpening iron, and it's a beautiful yeah. thing.
So have that conversation, and also recognize that both ideas are rooted in truth, echo throughout scripture, and we can hold either one, and none of us are violating the totality of the gospel, right. mm-hmm. even if we disagree on that particular verse's yep. original intent.
Yeah, and I would say this too, eternal security, it's totally okay to wrestle through. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to make it seem like you're a heathen or something if you're like, man, I really struggle with this concept or this doctrine in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage that too. If someone, maybe someone says, I don't believe eternal security, I don't believe once saved, always saved, you know, be gentle with that. Right. Mm-hmm. And allow the conversation to be had, mm-hmm. and allow scripture to speak, is what I would say. And maybe even if you know that, or maybe you have issues with that, you know, do some studying before the conversation. I think you're going to see a lot of fruit from it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay.
Tammy, take us to the word that does show up the most. We've dealt with the controversial one, but take us to the idea.
I have a little note card here, and mm-hmm. Gracie helped me. I read the passage. She thinks I should be a Bible reader on translation, mm-hmm. so maybe that might be my new job, is send my voice somewhere and, you know,
read scripture. The Bethany Audible version,
yeah,
by Tammy.
Yeah. So,
there's Sam talk.
But I had, yes, for sure. But I had her, like, you know, do little hashtags while I was reading. And the word that we see the most, for sure, is the word abide. Mm-hmm. And so I think it'd be fun just to talk about what that means, yeah. How we do abide, what abiding looks like in all three of our lives. So what does abide mean, Billy?
Yeah. So abide is, it's definitely a Christianese word, mm-hmm. but it's one of those ones I love. Like, mm-hmm. as I thought about using other words, like some translation will say remain. Abide sounds way cooler to me.
Wow, mm-hmm. look, I'm just going off to my CSB. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll pull up the NLT and see what that says.
Most people that I saw actually say abide, others will say remain.
Yeah,
like those are the two that we see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Both are fine. Mm-hmm. But abide is this idea of living in, and it's continual dependence is what I really feel like Jesus is getting after mm-hmm. here, why he uses that word mm-hmm. abide. It's not this big Greek word that has all these different kinds of meanings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really the context of what he's saying it in. So abide in my understanding of this text is continual dependence, just as a fruit is, a grape, you know, something that is tied into something else. It cannot continue to live out apart from that. And that's what Jesus is getting at here.
And I love, actually, I wish we had the phrase could be Neither can you unless you abide and remain in me. Because I think sometimes like we're abiding, but then we might go do something else. Mm-hmm. Versus, but that's not the original. That's not what would be the right understanding of the text, but that's how we might think of the word abide. Mm-hmm. So the other versions that use remain are trying to build with the other side of that of that Greek, which is the continuality.
Yeah.
It's not a momentary encounter. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what we were talking about last week. And I did that challenge at the end of the message that I'm not going to encourage people to just say, hey, have your 10 minutes with God today and move on. Because that's not abiding.
Yeah.
The idea of even throughout our whole day to be in an abiding, remaining, continual connection with God through the Holy Spirit so that he's feeding us in his word, because we're in his word, feeding us in our thoughts through his spirit, feeding us in our, even as we walk down the hall, and I mentioned praying as I'm moving through various things. Like, this is that idea, I think, of that you would build from for abiding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know when we were talking in preaching team, and welcome to my brain, everyone, but I always have these strange, you say you think in cartoons. Mm-hmm. I think I must think in analogies, and vacuuming is there often, but I like to vacuum.
She does. I do.
But I have a vacuum cleaner that I plug into the wall.
Yeah.
That baby works good, and it has some strong suction. Mm-hmm. And I have a vacuum cleaner that is cordless, and it never works as good as it should work. And it runs out of batteries. And so when you're talking about abiding and remaining,
that
was the analogy that came to my brain.
I like that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I mean, all illustrations will break down eventually. And,
right.
And, but this is the thing, like Jesus used these to bring a lot of meaning and things that are going to be our everyday lives and stuff. But I love that illustration. It works for me because I'm like, man, if it's not plugged in or if it's not powered by something, it's not going
to
work.
But we so like the quick, I think we want to be Christians who just plug in and I can go do my own thing and then come back.
We
and
charge up.
We want
and then to, I don't have to come back until the battery's low.
That's what I think. Yeah. I think we live our Christian lives like, you know. Cordless vacuum cleaners.
I think Billy, and I'm curious too, as you speak to that, I think it's one of the misunderstandings of abide is that we tend to apply it practically in a plug-in and charge-up narrative. I think we think of a lot of our Christian life as the God part is our plug-in and charge-up to get me through the rest of the week, get me through the rest of my day.
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, Jesus's illustrations are practical, but they're supernatural too. I would even say, like, with the Holy Spirit, what we read in 14 is him saying, like, no, you're about to get cordless here. And you can take me anywhere.
Yeah,
and
you're
still connected to me.
You're still the Holy Spirit. There you go.
There you go. Yeah. But as long as that is the battery you're using.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit. I like it. And you tap into that, you know, you abide in that, and you will be empowered no matter where you're at.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop, you know, as you get to the vacuum where you're irritated, you're like, doom, you know, it's
like, my cord.
And go over here to unplug and then plug back in. You know, it doesn't work that way. You know, that's where the illustration
breaks. Oh, look at that. He just reversed the illustration.
He did reverse it. There you go. But yeah, it's good. It's very, very good.
Yeah, but I like that one a lot. The thing too, I think that, again, this has some practical, deep truths that are good for us, you know, and it gives us the things that we abide in. Right? We're abiding in his love. We're abiding in his word, its truth, you know, and we're abiding even in his commandments, right? Mm-hmm. And following his commands and in this obedience, what's going to happen? If you do these things, if you obey and you choose to continue to remain in him, what's going to happen? The more you remain in him, you're going to produce something good. Yeah. And that's fruit.
So when you spoke to abiding in his word, if we look at 1 John 2:14, it says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And so part of the reason that we need God's word is just to overcome.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was a great verse.
It's a good picture. I think often when people come struggling with their faith, it's kind of what we talked about last week, is they are struggling because they feel like they're not seeing fruit, or they're seeing disobedience went out more than obedience. And yet when you sit down and you talk, and I'll say this because I've talked with a lot of people of this, there's not an abiding life discipline. There's not a root feeding system where the Holy Spirit is truly the battery. It's like, oh, I can't seem to fight the sin. Well, how much are you running after Jesus? Well, I keep praying he'd help me defeat the sin. Well, that's not really what I asked you. I asked you how much you're running after to abide with Jesus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because there's a difference in like, God, help me stop sinning versus God, I want to know you more. Help me know you more. Mm-hmm. One seeks to abide in relationship. The other one says, can you do this thing for me?
One's behavior modification.
Yes, that is a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's even a greater example of that is we look at obedience as sprinkling Jesus over our lives, mm-hmm. right? Like an additive to mm-hmm. us, you know, it's like
little MSG.
Yeah, little MSG of Jesus. Maybe that's the sin.
Jesus, right? Wow. Okay. All right, keep going, Billy. Keep going.
But it is. It's like we do. We just add Jesus and add a little bit of Jesus to my life, and then it'll start getting better.
It'll enhance my life.
And ooh, what he's saying here good. Is that he is my source.
Yes.
He is the thing that gives me life.
Yes.
And as much as I run towards him and these mm-hmm. issues of my life and stuff, and you say, I'm just going to remain in you. You are the one that's faithful and true. Mm-hmm. All these other things, they don't bring me life. You do. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to start to see those fruits.
That's good.
So until we see our need for Jesus, like life support.
Yeah. Well, I like the cord analogy. Okay. I really do.
Okay.
Or even the power source.
Coming back.
because and here's the thing, we're not dead, you know, living on a ventilator kind of life, right? Mm-hmm. We have a life that's thriving and that's great and it's mm-hmm. good. And if anything, yeah, you know, we were dead in our trespasses and he brought us a life. He gave mm-hmm. us spiritual life mm-hmm. and life abundantly, as we read in John 10. Mm-hmm. This one mirrors that really well. We get to live in mm-hmm. him, right? Mm-hmm. And continue to grow and be sanctified and produce more and mm-hmm. more and more fruit. Mm-hmm. And you, if you have it, you are tied in. Mm-hmm. There's going to be seasons in your life where you feel like you're not bearing as much fruit. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say that. So if you're like, man, I just don't feel it in my life, I'm struggling. Well, go back to what this says. Obey. Follow his words, follow his commands, and what's going to happen? That simple obedience is going to start producing fruit and mm-hmm. reliance on him. Stop relying on the world to give you joy. Find his joy, which he says that he wants to give you.
So here's a crazy question. So you're talking about us seeing or knowing that we have fruit. At some point, if I'm looking, I'm also like, yeah, look, I'm patient. I'm really kind. You know, I've got it all figured out. You know, like that's so hard. Like, is it better that David and I see fruit in Billy's life than you can see fruit in your own life? Because if you're just doing what God has asked you to do, do you know you're an apple? I mean, does that make, you know?
Good. No, I actually like that. That's a good challenge to us.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's both and. I really do. Because, I mean, what does James teach us? He says that the word of God is like a mirror, right? We look at it. We challenge ourselves with it, right? Okay. And it's like a sword. Mm-hmm. And you got to have people in your life that you trust with that, too. Kind of like a chisel, even, too. You're saying, mm-hmm. like, what are you seeing in my life, right? Mm-hmm. I'd say be very careful for the people that you put into that mm-hmm. That spot in your life, because it's mm-hmm. not meant for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, to say, like, hey, what do you see that needs to go? Mm-hmm. Right? Because some people.
So do you feel like you have that person in your life?
Yeah, I have a lot of those people in my life, you know. Okay. And I'll talk about this a little bit in the message too, but my T group, right?
Okay.
That I've been a part of for a long time. It's been over 3 years.
Mm. He was in a T group before it was cool.
Yeah. We're old school D groups.
Okay. We're from the D to the T, but we're still talking about living it, you know.
I like T because of Tammy. So yeah, yeah, David, sorry, you lost.
But yeah, those men, I could countless times that I don't feel like undressing, you know, in this meeting, telling you all the things that they said, Billy, you need to work on this, or calling me out on things. And it's been both and. It's mm-hmm. not just one way.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful when we could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is good. I think we want to be, and I think that the thing that makes it difficult, if we're, I want to say a fruit analyzer, though it feels so like, or
fruit inspector. Like our fruit little
inspector,
stamps.
Fruit inspector, right? Is FDA. Yeah, there we go. Is mm-hmm. is what makes that uncomfortable is because there's two ways we can do that. We can do it with love, and I want to see that fruit mm-hmm. shine. Or and I can do it with man, now I can really let you know how rotten your fruit is. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, as what we see in here, did it to make us shine. Mm-hmm. Like, he wanted to see us produce fruit. He wasn't like, I want to make sure you know how awful you are mm-hmm. and how terrible you are at producing fruit. That's not the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus mm-hmm. is like, you realize you're broken.
But I want to see you shine. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see you be the light into the darkness. I want to see you produce fruit that others look at you and say, that's like a Jesus looking fruit. Ooh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to go be a part of that. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus is wanting to do. And so if we approach that with each other, we're just being Jesus to each other. Yeah. And it not that it never hurts. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been in that groups too, Billy, and it can hurt sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's not what you want to hear. But when I know guys love me, like, the hurt is more my pride than it is from them directly.
It's through that, and God will use people, but he'll use his word, I think, a lot even more times to prune, right? He's pruning it. This is exactly what this text is saying.
Okay. And I think that takes us to the next word. Now, that's the next most popular word.
Well, the next most popular word is love, but I'm wondering if we need to hit prune really quick, because there's only prune once, but that seems really significant. None of us like to be pruned. I mean, if you know, you think if you got this big, beautiful plant and you like how it looks, but you know you need to lob it off or cut it down so that it can grow. Whenever Terry McKinney asked me, he's our neighbor and he's a plant guy, that it's time to split the hostas, I like when they look big and pretty. I really don't want to divide them and split them or prune them or whatever word you use. So pruning in your life, can you think of a time or, you know, as we're, David, you're
first. No, that's okay. I don't mind going first on this one. Like, you know, there's continual pruning, right? That I think exists with, I think again, with the guys that I do both grow group life with and tea group life with, that's good. You know, I went out to breakfast with one of my guys the other day, and we were just chatting, and he was wanting to challenge me, and I think it was a pruning moment, but it was to challenge me to help me grow. And I saw that heart, and he's like, and he said, here's just what I see you're doing, but I see God's made you for this. Go do it. Like, it was a great, he's like, don't let these things in you stop you from where God wants you to go. And it was a great pruning moment. And it was like a month and a half ago now, and I've seen the fruit of that moment that God used. So I really think God put something on his heart for me. Mm-hmm. He came and said, I've been praying for you. I just feel strongly about this. I want to share this with you. He came and he challenged me with this moment. It wasn't what I would necessarily wanted to hear, but I can tell you now, since that conversation, I can point to. And then when I was in this situation, I remember that and it pushed me, and God used it. I was in this situation, I remembered it. And so I can now look at, I can show you this fruit and this little bit of fruit and this little bit of fruit that all flowed from this one conversation that was a pruning moment, from a friend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Proverbs says, better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. Mm-hmm. And he gave me that moment, but man, I can see the fruit that's already come from that. Mm-hmm. And just in 1 month. And so I'd say most recently, though, I think there's moments, that was one thing that was being pruned. I can tell you stories of moments where it's been, man, and over the course of a couple of months, God's like, doom, 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 right? And like,
chainsaw.
Yeah, right? And like, those hurt more, but both I can look back and see. And I really mean this. Thank God. Thank God.
I know, I think, as you know, as I ask the questions, I'm like, oh, shoot, I have to have an answer. but for me, I can think of relationships that I've had where I felt safe with someone and God has said, this person is going to move to Illinois. You know, I mean, where I was maybe making an idol of a friendship, and the Lord was like, and it was a good friend. It was, you know, it was a sweet thing. So for me, there's been, you know, those kind of moments, or someone that has been maybe a mentor, someone that I have esteemed, they have really struggled and wrestled, and I've had to decide, is my faith my own? Or, you know what I mean? When you see someone that you love really wrestling with the Lord. Those are pruning moments when you have to be alone. Am I staying in the vine if I'm here by myself for a while? So
I have several that I know it's surprising that I've done a lot of pruning in my life.
Were those several yesterday? I mean, I'll keep going.
I think one more practically and stuff, because pruning, we don't need to look at it as like, this is sin that needs to come out. That's obvious to me.
Yeah,
I think the harder ones are the ones where it's just like, this is neither good nor bad, but it's causing you not to grow.
Oh, that's good. That's good, Billy. That's really good.
And so outdoors guy, you know, people challenge me all the time, like, man, Billy, you hunt and fish a lot. And I'm like, yeah, I do. And it's something that I definitely want to enjoy the rest of my life. But if it becomes an idol, or if it becomes something that takes up too much of my time and stuff, and it's not producing fruit, then, hey, does this really need to be in there? I'd say that's a lot of things in our life, hobbies, things like that.
That's good, Billy. Mm,
that's really good.
Where they take too much, right? Mm-hmm. That sometimes you got to prune those things back. Another one too is I found that my response a lot of times, in even good things, and I don't know why this is, it could be anger, right? And it's just like, all my stuff with Mercy Justice, right? Mm-hmm. Like I get angry and I want to do something about it, right? Mm-hmm. And like anger has become fuel for me. Like I get angry when people treat kids poorly, so I want to do something for them. But I've had friends challenge me, like, remember what it says in James, that anger does not produce the fruit of righteousness that God desires. It's stuff like that, I think, we need to hear. Here's one that, even more practically, somebody told me the other day.
We should have let him go first.
Yeah, that's good.
This is one that real practically that was said to me, and it's weird. I never really focused on the second part of this text, and it really hit me. It says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. And this is a part that really hit me. But only such as good for building up, as fit as the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. Mm. I was like, man, I just needed to hear that. Like a lot of times I have a lot of empty talk, or a lot of talk, like I like, to jab or needle people and stuff. And it's just like, am I really building them up? And so that was something I feel like God really challenged me on recently.
That's good. And I love that we can have things that have happened right now. I always wrestle when the story is back 15 years ago, like, because obviously God is about pruning us as we abide in him. So that's good. The next word, and I think this is a good word and probably the word we're going to end on, is we see a lot of love going on. So we're carrying that love through John. We had our trilogy, and now, so teach us some love.
What's really cool about this text that I like is it shows the sequence, right? Love is going to continue to produce good things. It's going to continue to move down, right? So where does it start? The love of the Father, to the Son, to us, to others. It's a beautiful illustration. And here's what I would say. If you get God's love and you feel God's love and it ends with you, that's a dead end road. And I would say there's something amiss there. Because if you're rooted, as David taught really well last week, if you're rooted in Christ, it's going to produce something. Rooted in the Holy Spirit, it's going to produce something into other people's lives. And I love that last, I think the one that I'm going to end on is verse 13. Wait, I don't have it. Could you open it?
Yeah, it ran from here. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends.
And here's where I think we hear that. Like, oh, he's talking about Jesus. Well, I think it's powerful that it is alluding to Jesus, but I think Jesus is saying this so that we can apply it to our lives. Does that mean that we need to go die and sacrifice our lives for other people? In a spiritual sense, that isn't needed. Jesus did that for all people in a sense. But there is something about laying our lives down, caring for one another, as much as Jesus cares for us. I don't think we'll ever meet that bar. But God's putting it out there, right? He says, as the Father loves me, I love you the same. That's insane love, right? And it only in Christianity, only those who truly abide can truly have that kind of love. And it's going to produce something truly incredible.
Yeah. And then verse 17 says, these things I command you so that you will love one another. Yeah. So it does come back to that.
Yeah.
And that's where, to bring the full circle, that's where we were in chapter 13. This is Jesus is like, this is what I want you to do. As I have set the example for you, now do for others love. And then we talk more about his assurance and his love for us. We come back to now our love for him and last week. And now we're all the way back in abiding as a root of that love, right? We abide because we love. And now we're coming back to now again, this ultimate command, right? What is the ultimate command? Love God, love others. The rest of it's all fulfilled. If you can love God, as we're talking about in this text, and you love each other, as Jesus has been talking to us 13 and 15 here, then the rest of the law, the rest of the commands, the way we buy, they will flow out of that. And that is the beautiful, I think we want to complicate it because how hard love is, though.
simple truth, hard.
And I think we want to complicate. Well, what about this? And we want to put the caveats on this last love part. Well, what were the caveats you put on us?
Yeah. Because we love independence. I know we're almost done. Because in I'm with David because I do this. I'm like, well, what? I want my independence. I don't want to do these things.
Yeah, close with this one, Billy. Right on.
Galatians, I think, hits this on the head. Mm-hmm. In Galatians 5:13, it says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, right? But through love and serving one another."
That's good. That's a great verse to end on.
I love it.
So next week, our challenge to you is to read, David, you will be preaching next week, right?
Yeah.
John 15, starting at verse 18, and you'll go through 16, verse 15, correct?
Yeah, I think we'll go through a hard text and be thinking about, as you're reading that, how does this contend to the natural expectations I have for what I think the Christian life should be?
Yeah. And yeah, that'll be good. And we didn't hit joy. That was a word in this week's too. So there's so much we could have done, but this was
so many words in all these verses.
I know. So thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.